Welcome to the Daily Platform from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. The school was founded in 1927 by the evangelist Dr. Bob Jones Sr. His intent was to make a school where Christ would be the center of everything, so he established daily chapel services. Today, that tradition continues with fervent biblical preaching from the University Chapel platform. Today on the Daily Platform, we'll hear from Reverend Jay Knowles, Senior Pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Good morning to all of you. I want to thank Dr. Pettit for the opportunity of sharing God's Word with you this morning. And as we begin, I want to just share with you three common storylines that I have seen in my years of ministry. And as I share these with you today, I don't have a particular person necessarily in mind when I share these with you, because unfortunately these are storylines that I have seen multiple times in our ministry, in our counseling ministry, and just in ministering to people in general. These three storylines go something like this. The first one would be a spouse meets someone at work, meets someone in the community. They build a friendship through maybe texting or conversation at work. And before long, in a matter of weeks or months, there is a full extramarital affair that has begun. And sometimes, unfortunately, this has included pastors, missionaries, and others in vocational ministry. In fact, I met a man, I've known this man for a while. I saw him recently in our town, Wilmington, and he walked by me and he said, "Hey, I just wanted to share something very briefly with you." He said, "Pray for our family." He said, "A couple of weeks ago, my wife, who met a man at work, took my kids out of our home and she left me." A second common storyline is a man or a woman begins to take prescription drugs to deal with physical or emotional pain. And before long, that person is doing the unthinkable, addicted to street drugs. I won't go into the story because I don't have time this morning, but a man that I worked with for several months who came to me after being in a rehab for over a year and trying to fight through his battle of addiction, and unfortunately fell back into his destructive lifestyle with illicit drugs. The third very brief storyline I would mention today is one that I want us to focus primarily on, somewhat because I've seen it again recently, but it is where you're living right now. A young man or a young woman grows up in a Christian home. They attend a Christian school or they're homeschooled. They attend then a Christian college, and within a few short years, they have adopted a very distorted view of the gospel, or they have forsaken the gospel altogether. And when I read you these three storylines, the reason I do that is I want to talk to you today about your theme of running the race. Because we are in a race. Salvation is a once-in-a-lifetime event. We come to Christ, we believe in Christ, and we begin this process of sanctification. And while we are in this process of sanctification, we actually are trying to obey the commands of Scripture in a culture that is increasingly pushing against biblical ideals. And the pressure is one of great pressure that comes at us each and every day. Well, I want to talk to you about the topic of developing a winning mindset as we run this race in our culture. And I would like for you to find, if you would, 1 Corinthians 16, and we're going to look at two verses. The second verse I will touch on very briefly at the end, but 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we're going to be looking at verses 13 and 14. And as you're turning there, if you're familiar with the book of 1 Corinthians, this was a church that had some very significant struggles in this church. In fact, I was thinking this morning, if the pulpit committee from First Church of Corinth called me and started to describe the problems in that church, asked me if I wanted to pastor that church, I would probably say no. Because this church was filled with sexual immorality. It was filled with racial and social divisions. It was filled with arrogance. There was condescension among the believers. There was a lack of love among them. They were taking each other to court. They were distorting the view, their proper view of the Lord's Supper. And not only that, they were taking their giftedness and comparing themselves to one another and had become a church filled with division. And the problem with the church at Corinth, by the way, wasn't the fact that this church lived and ministered in a carnal city of Corinth. That wasn't the problem. The problem was the ideas and philosophy of the city of Corinth was creeping into the church. So we might think about it this way. The problem with the church in Corinth wasn't that it was geographically located in Corinth. The problem was Corinth's ideas were creeping into the believers and it was greatly impacting their ministry. And as Paul ends this letter to these Corinthian believers, he sends some very strong words for them. He has corrected their errant theology. He has challenged some of their ideas. And as he's closing this book, as he often does in the closing chapter, he begins to talk about some personal relationships, and he mentions Timothy and some of the other folks that had been instrumental in his ministry. But when he comes to verse 13, he's going to present to us these five closing commandments that he offers that I would argue that if we could apply these to our lives and develop this winning mindset that helps us be spiritually successful, if you will, in our culture, these mindsets would help us greatly become faithful and more faithful in standing against our culture. So let's begin with the first one. In verse 13, first two words there, Paul says, "Watch ye." This word "watch," it comes from a Greek word, gregorio. It means to pay strict attention to. It means to be cautious. Actually, this word has the idea of take heed, lest through remission and lethargy, some destructive calamity may overtake you. What this word carries the idea is that we often become lethargic, we often become apathetic, and we are not always watching with great care and caution in our lives, and often it puts us in a place of great vulnerability. This idea of watchfulness is important because a lack of watchfulness is perilous to our souls. This Greek word, gregorio, is used some 22 times in the New Testament to call us to attention. In fact, one of the most common verses that you probably know, and familiar verses, I should say, that you probably already know, is 1 Peter 5:8, where Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant." The word translated vigilant there is the same Greek word, gregorio, be vigilant. Why? "Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." I don't know if you followed the story, but on October the 2nd, just earlier this month, there was a lady at the Bronx Zoo who decided that it would be a wonderful idea to climb over the fence into one of the enclosures at the zoo. And living in that enclosure was an adult male lion. And this woman got within a few feet of this lion and she's taunting it. She's waving her hands at it and she's trying to get the lion's attention. And in between her and the lion, there's this very small, tiny ravine. I don't know if she thought the ravine would keep the lion on the other side or not. And you could hear people in the background, the commotion behind them, fully expecting they're about to see a woman devoured by this lion. I love this statement by the Bronx Zoo, by the way. I thought I would just share this with you. You talk about an understatement. The man said, "The action was a serious violation and of unlawful trespass that could have resulted in serious injury or death." That's very true. Now, here's my question for you. If you knew in your life that when you walked out of your dormitory this morning or out of your apartment or out of your home where you live, that there is a roaring lion walking around seeking to kill you, devour you, destroy you, would you approach your day a little bit differently? I think we would. And yet we often underestimate and we often forget that these commandments for us to watch, be vigilant, be diligently watching out lest something overtake us is given to us because our enemy, the devil himself, is roaring like a lion seeking to destroy you. And I have seen the three opening storylines I shared with you. I have talked to too many people who have left their guard down and not been vigilant and not taking care of their soul, and they have suffered greatly as a result. Do you understand the enemy that you face when we engage the culture in which we live? I love this quote by Lisa Turkhurst. She said, "The world entices your flesh, but it never embraces your soul." And so Paul encourages us to be watchful. Now you may ask, well, watchful in what specific areas? Let me just briefly mention four of them. First, be watchful because of temptation. Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation." I don't know about you, but I have been saying this for a long time, that if we are honest with ourselves, we could probably identify the area of life, the particular temptation that we are vulnerable to. There is something in you, in your flesh, that still desires to disobey God, and there is something in your life particularly that you find tempting to you. Now, we know that the devil certainly is not omniscient. He doesn't know your minds, but he does see your pattern of living. And he does know with great familiarity that there are things in your life and in mine that we find particularly troublesome to us. Are you vigilant in that area? I will tell you, my wife is here with me today, and she could tell you, as well as I could tell you, my area of weakness, because I want her in my life helping me keep me accountable and away from the temptations that are a particular struggle for me. Do you guard, do you watch yourself in those areas of temptation? Number two, I believe we have to be alert because of false teachers. And I won't spend time reading all these verses, but in Acts 20, Luke talks about fierce wolves. We have false teachers in 2 Peter 2. We have in Philippians, watch out for the dogs and evildoers that mutilate your flesh. And so we have to be alert, on guard for false teachers. And then the fourth one I would share with you is be alert for the lure of apathy. That very often we settle into this pattern of being apathetic toward our faith. So Paul says, if you're going to develop this winning mindset and you're going to run the race in a culture that is carnal, carnality and culture is nothing new, that you have to begin by guarding your heart, by being vigilant, and by guarding and watching your soul. Notice the second one he gives us here. He says in verse 13, "Watch ye," and then the second one is, "Stand fast in the faith." The idea here that Paul is communicating to us is, be resolute in the faith. Be committed to it. Paul is calling the Corinthian believers to remain firmly committed to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You just quoted from the screens a creed that have the core doctrines of the faith included in that. Paul is saying that that has to be a mindset of resoluteness, standing fast in what you believe, drawing a line in the sand, and defending what you believe to be true. I want to move on to the third one, and I want to spend a couple minutes on this one, because this one, I think, is a very important one for us today. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith." And then look at the third mindset here is, "Quit you like men." I love that. Today I'm here to tell you to quit like a man. Just quit. That's not what he's saying. The word "quit" communicates to us the idea of being brave. Be courageous. In fact, in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, this word that is translated here, "quit like a man," or "be courage," "have courage," or "be brave," was used in Deuteronomy 31, "be strong and courageous." It was also used in Joshua 1, "be strong and courageous." Paul had challenged the Corinthian believers because they were not living a life of courage. In fact, there were times in the church's history that they were acting much like children. He said to them in 1 Corinthians 14:20, "Brethren, be not children in understanding." Be mature, be courageous. And Paul is clearly here communicating to us this serious burden for all of us to be watchful, to be resolute, and to be courageous in the culture that we are living in. I've been preaching through in our church the book of Esther. And if you're familiar with the story of Esther, you know that Esther was an orphan. She had grown up in the Persian Empire, and her cousin, actually, Mordecai, had adopted her. And through some very bizarre circumstances, she becomes queen. When King Xerxes has his first wife, Vashti, put away for her disobedience, he has this process he goes through, and Esther becomes the queen of Persia. And while she is serving as the queen, Haman actually develops a plan, a plot, to destroy all of the Jewish people. And Esther, living in the palace, isn't actually familiar with what's going on, and Mordecai, her adopted father, if you will, sends her a message saying that all of the Jews are about to be killed. One of the things that Mordecai had asked her to do was to never reveal her nationality. Xerxes, the king at the time, didn't know that she was Jewish. And he says to her that God had raised Esther up for such a time as this, and he says to her that you need to go to the king and plead for him to change this plot to have the Jews destroyed. Well, Esther understands that Xerxes was not a man of reason. And she also understood that for some 30 days, he had never requested her to come into his presence. She also understood that if she were to enter into his presence unannounced, he would possibly have her head chopped off. He would kill her. And so Esther asked for 3 days of prayer and fasting. And after these 3 days, Esther, it tells us that she put on her royal garments and she goes in before the king. She put her life on the line. A woman of bravery, a woman of courage. I was thinking through in preparation for this morning, I don't know what the next 2-3 decades of our culture, of ministry in our culture, are going to bring. I don't know. What I do know is this, is that apart from God miraculously changing the hearts of people in our culture, the fights for us as pastors, missionaries, church leaders, it is not going to get easier. And my question for you, as you are maybe preparing for ministry or you are preparing for any other vocation, or you're going to use your vocation to serve Christ in the quote unquote secular workforce, and that is where God is calling you, are you going to be a man and woman of courage? Because I hope that I am wrong, but I believe the battles that we are going to fight in the next 10, 20, 30 years are going to increasingly be difficult as the culture continues to push back against biblical truth. I read an article that described the 10 most common fears of Americans. I'm going to read them for you very, very quickly. Number 10, darkness. Number 9, I don't understand, the fear of zombies. If you fear zombies, you probably ought to put your video games away or something, I don't know. Fear of zombies. Number 8, strangers. Number 7, flying. Number 6, enclosed in a small space. Number 5, blood and needles. Number 4, drowning. Number 3, bugs and insects. Number 2, heights. And number 1, public speaking. My daughter, we were talking the other day, she likes to sing and she likes to participate in dramas, and she does some local theater in our city. And I asked her the other day, I said, honey, do you ever get afraid talking in front of people? And she looked at me and she said, why? I said, that is the most common fear among mankind, but she doesn't have it. The only one that I really get is number 2. I have a little bit of a fear of heights. Now you may say, I don't have that kind of fear. No, but listen to this list. I don't understand these 10. I certainly don't understand the fear of zombies. But I understand this one. I understand the fear of rejection. I understand the fear of failure and the fear of imperfection and the fear of embarrassment or humiliation or bodily harm or the fear of being hated. I get those fears. And you know what? It's not your fear of public speaking or your fear of heights or your fear of bugs or your fear of zombies that's going to keep you from being bold in our culture. It's going to be our fear of rejection, our fear of failure, our fear of being harmed, our fear of being thought to be an idiot or a fool or something like that. That's the fear that keeps us from boldly serving our Savior without apology. And so Paul tells this church in Corinth, look, if you are going to stand in the culture that you are living in, you have to be courageous. And by the way, you may know this already in your life, but fear is paralyzing. When we are fearful, we do not serve boldly. We don't speak with boldness. We allow our fear to dominate us, and we are not effective gospel witnesses. Notice number four Paul gives us in verse 13. He has said, watch, be vigilant, be awake, stand fast, be resolute in the faith, don't waver, be courageous. And then he says, be strong. Now, this is an interesting word here, because the word to be strengthened means simply to be made strong, to increase in your strength. But interestingly enough, this word in Greek is a passive word. I think Paul is recognizing that our ultimate source of strength actually comes outside of us. It comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. It comes at us through the power of Christ who strengthens us. So I don't think Paul is saying here, just be strong in and of your own ability, in and of your own strength, because we're not going to last very long if we do that. I think the idea is be strengthened in the power of the Holy Spirit, be strengthened in the power of Christ, and allow that same power that resurrected Christ from the death, from the grave, to empower you. Be strong. That'll also argue that he's talking primarily about being mentally strong, mentally prepared, be mentally resilient. You know, I've heard the joke for a long time that pastors take Mondays off because they sit home and write their resignation letters. And my new joke now is I take Friday afternoons off because I have a really large Christian school. And so by Friday afternoon, there's a lot of reasons to quit. And in your life, there's always reason to quit. If we look long enough, hard enough, and we just look in our lives, we're going to find imperfections in our own souls, in our own hearts, and there's going to be reason to quit. And that's why these first four commandments are so important for a winning mindset. Don't give in to the temptation of quitting. Be watchful, be ready, be standing firm, be courageous and be strong. And then notice in closing what Paul says in verse 14. He says, number five, let all things be done with charity. One of the saddest parts about studying the Church of Corinth to me is that they were a very gifted church. But in their giftedness, they became arrogant. In their giftedness, they became divisive. In fact, arguably one of the most commonly known chapters in all of the Bible is, in fact, 1 Corinthians 13. That is what was often called the love chapter, and it's read often at weddings. It's not a marriage text, though. It's a text about life within the body of Christ. It was actually a rebuke against them that they were using their spiritual gifts to be divisive. And so Paul comes back to this church and he tells them as he's closing this letter is, look, everything that you do, you have to do it with a spirit of love. In a church, the Corinthian church that was riddled with strife, they needed to remember that if they did any of that, they served Christ, they did whatever God called them to do without an attitude of love, that they were just a clanging cymbal. So, how's your race going this morning? How are you running this race? This culture, it's sinful, it's carnal. There's nothing new under the sun. Paul is writing to the Church of Corinth. They lived in a pagan culture that went to temples and did unthinkable things in the name of their religion. And yet Paul calls them to be faithful in that culture. In the American church, we could say it this way. Well, you know, the problem with American churches today is that America, that we're in America. No, the problem is America's ideas and priorities and philosophies and goals are creeping into our churches and they're creeping into our lives. We'd rather be entertained than serve. We would much rather be accepted than to risk rejection by courageously sharing Christ. Folks, I hope and I pray that your mindset as you run this race will become one of watchfulness, a mindset of resoluteness, a mindset of great courage, a mindset of toughness, and undergirding all of that, a mindset of love. And my dear friend, if you adopt that mindset, you will run the race and you will run it well. And in the process, you'll bring glory to your Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning just for these brief moments of sharing these couple of short verses with these folks. Lord, it is hard to keep our minds where they need to be. And it's easy to blame our culture. It's easy to blame things outside of us. But the reality is, it's our sinful hearts that allow us to be drawn away from the truth of your word in such a way that we are apathetic at times. And we do want to be comfortable more than we want to serve. And so, God, I pray, I certainly don't know individual hearts here today, but maybe there's some that are struggling in one of these particular areas. And God, that you would use this text in their hearts and in their lives to assure them of your love for them, to assure them of the fact that they are a child of yours and that they may then go into our world and into our culture and serve you with boldness for your glory. I pray, Lord, for strength for the rest of this day and just ask, Lord, your blessing on each and every one of us as we depart. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon preached by Reverend Jay Knowles, Senior Pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Wilmington, North Carolina. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week as we study God's Word together here on the Daily Platform.